this humor, I want you to know that there are blessings to humor. For example, science finds that humor increases the heart rate, it improves the circulation of the blood, it stimulates respiratory action, relaxes muscles, it improves digestion, it increases secretion of our alertness hormones. That wakes you up, in other words. Now, if you laugh together, they found that you can work together. Humor in the workplace leads to creativity in the office or wherever you're working. It increases production, reduces stress, leads to healthy acceptance or adaptation to change. So with this, I'm going to also build up your self-defense immune system and release a lot of those endorphins. Now, my first of 14 jokes. No, we can't go that long. But the first joke is, this young priest, after finishing his masses on Sunday, went for a walk in the park. And in front of him was a lady with a baby carriage, talking to the baby and saying, "Now be quiet, little one. When we get back to the house, I'll give you a lollipop." And he said to himself, "That voice sounds familiar." So he went up and looked at her, and he said, "Mom, is that you?" And she said to him, "Son, is that you?" "Yeah." "Mom, you look 30 years younger. How come?" And she said, "I went to a nutrition store, and they had a capsule there. If you took one, it took 5 years off your life. So for 6 weeks, I'm 30 years younger." And he looked in the carriage, and he said, "Is that my brother?" She said, "No, that's your father. He overdosed." And if you think that was good, well, you mothers will appreciate this one too. This is a mother with 7 children, and she's in financial straits. She goes out on the porch to pray. Next door, there's an atheist, and he's outside working, and he listens. And she's saying, "Oh, Lord, you know I have 7 children. We need food. Please, Lord." Then he steps out and said, and he doesn't step out, but he says to himself, "I'm going to prove that God doesn't exist. I'm going to buy the food." So he went to ShopRite, and he bought 5 big bags of food, puts it in front of her door, rings the doorbell. He runs away and hides to wait and see what she would do. When she comes out, she sees all that food. She says, "Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord." And he jumped out and said, "No way, it was not your God. It was I who did that." And she said, "Oh, thank you, Lord, you made the devil pay for it." And I don't encourage you to have this kind of pet. But this husband, whose wife had a parrot, had a line of speech that depressed him. All the parrot said was, "I hope my husband dies. I hope my husband dies. I hope my husband dies." So he went to the parish and asked the young priest how to deal with it. And he said, "Well, tell you what, I have a parrot, and my parrot prays. Let's put the two of them together overnight and see if he has a change in his line of speech." So he takes the parrot home and goes to bed. Next morning he comes down, takes the male off the cage. "I hope my husband dies. I hope my husband dies. I hope my husband dies." And the other birdies say, "Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer." Well, I told you I have some rare jokes for you. And I'm reserving the best one when I'm ready. I have to get, you know, steamed up for it. Now, this friend had a man who bought a store, a friend of his, and he wanted to send him a bouquet, congratulations. So he went to the florist and had him send a bouquet with the congratulations. He found out later that the wrong bouquet was sent to him. It was a bouquet intended for a funeral. So he went to the store and he furiously said to the owner, how could you send a bouquet like that to my friend? He said, you're angry. What do you think the other fellow felt when he read his bouquet? It said, congratulations on your new location. And then there was the zoo that had a gorilla that performed, and the children loved him, but he died. And now the zookeeper was looking for a replacement, but he couldn't find anyone, so he asked a man to put on a gorilla suit and perform in the cage. Well, he was going through his act, and the children loved it, but one day he was in the trapeze without realizing that a chain in the trapeze was weak. It broke. He fell through the floor into the next cage. And who do you think was down there? A lion. And the lion was growling. And he was scared. And he was saying, oh my goodness, what's happening to me? And the lion was crouching. And he jumped on him. And he was screaming. And the lion said, keep quiet or we'll both lose our job. We do not want suppressed laughter here. And then there's the man who was driving a horse and wagon down a country road with his dog, and along comes an 18-wheeler trailer truck. Whew! So fast that it blew over the wagon, man of the wagon, the horse. And 3 weeks later, he brings the truck driver to court, suing him. And the judge looked at the transcript, and he said after a while, I don't understand. You said in your transcript you never felt better. Now you're wearing a collar for a whiplash and a brace for your back. How do you explain that? Well, he said, when the policeman came to investigate, I said, my horse is hurt. He went over and looked at the horse, and he shook his head, and he shot him. And I said, my dog is hurt. And he went over and looked at him, and he shot him. And he said to me, is there anything wrong with you? Never felt better. Now, I have two more, and I'm building up to the best one. This man went to the doctor with a problem, and the doctor said, what's your problem? He said, doctor, every time I touch my forehead, I'm in pain. Every time I touch my jaw, I'm in pain. Every time I touch my chest, I'm in pain. Every time I touch my knee, I'm in pain. 3 days later, they found out he had a broken finger. Well, along those lines, I have another one. This woman came to the doctor and she said, doctor, I have pain in my right eye. And he said, you have it all day? No, she says, when I'm taking my coffee in the morning. And he thought for a moment. He said, all right, well, tomorrow, when you have your coffee, take your spoon out of the cup. All right. Now I'm ready for the big act here. This Italian fellow lived to be 110 years old, and his name was Luigi. On his birthday, the TV announcer invited him on the program, and he said, "Luigi, I understand today is your birthday, 110 years old. What is your secret?" And he said, "I have no secret. I live a normal life." "What do you have for breakfast?" "Oh, for a breakfast, I have a toaster and a cup of coffee with a Romano cheese and with a garlic. And I put up some provolone with a garlic." "What do you have for lunch?" "Oh, for lunch, I have a split loaf with the bologna with the garlic and the provolone with the garlic and a cup of the coffee." "And what about dinner at night?" "Oh, I have a big plate of the pasta with the garlic, with the provolone and the garlic and a glass of the wine." "Oh. Do you have a snack at night?" "Oh, yes. At the night, I take a clove of the garlic under my tongue. I chew, and I keep it in my tongue, and I sleep." Well, we thought, that's enough garlic. "Have you ever had a religious experience?" "Oh, yes. One night, I hear a voice say, 'Luigi! Luigi! Luigi!' three a time. And I'm think, is it the angel of the death? I'm awake. I hear again, 'Luigi! Luigi! Luigi!' three times. I say to myself, 'I'm going to test it.' And I say, 'Who are you?' He disappeared." It is not a ghost. The same time. So I hope you're best in you're in your best mood, and I suppose maybe I should share some of this for nuns, because it has to do with a mother superior who founded a religious community, and God always blesses them. In other words, they're usually a saint. Well, this mother foundress was dying, and all the nuns were collected around her bed, very solicitous for her least comfort, and they were saying, "Oh, Mother, before you go to heaven, please share a last bit of wisdom with us so that we'll have something to remember you by." And they found that she was really not that well, so they decided to bring her a cup of milk. And she sipped it for a while, and then she pushed it aside. So they took it back to the kitchen and asked the cook if there was something else she could prepare. And she thought, "Well, I'll warm the milk up, and I'll put in some Irish whiskey." So then she brought that out, and the mother began to sip it, and she sipped and sipped and sipped, and she drank the whole cup. And then the sisters again, final word, "Oh, Mother, please give us a last word of advice before you go to heaven." And she sat bolt upright, and with a strong finger, she pointed to the cup, and she said, "Buy that cow." And I'm not sure that, I've told this a number of times elsewhere, but I also must give credit where it's due. I got these from Father Robert de Grandis, God bless him. And so I'm sharing this now. At this particular circus, they had a performance. This man had a pit bull in the ring, and his conditions were, if any man brought his dog that could stay in with that pit bull, or throw the pit bull out, would win $500. So a number of the men brought their dogs, and 1 minute, out the dog went. Along comes the pastor, and one of the parishioners notices him and says, "Father, you're going to put him in with the ring? Oh, you're going to lose. The pastor said, I don't think so. We're going to try. Oh, yeah, you're going to lose. He noticed that the dog had fat legs, a short tail, and a big nose. So the pastor had the deposit was $50. So he put down $50, put him in the ring, and there was a tremendous scuffle and all kinds of noises and growling. And all of a sudden, out came the pit bull. And the pastor won. So now he's marching away with his $500 and his pet. And the parishioner went up there and said, Father, if I didn't know it, I thought that might have been an alligator. And the pastor said, it was before I shortened his tail and painted him yellow. And then, like you mothers, when you have a gifted son, why, you like to brag. Well, these three women were bragging about their sons. And the first one said, my son is a doctor, and he owns two houses, one in New York and one in Miami. And the other mother said, my son has three houses, one in New York, one in Miami, and one in Montreal. And the third woman said, my son has five houses. And they asked, what does he do? He's a mechanic. He fixes things. He fixes basketball games, football games, hockey games. And then in this hospital, three men were waiting for the delivery of respective babies. The first man was Mr. Brown, and he waits for news about his wife, and he's told by the nurse that he now has twins. And he says, wonderful, wonderful. I work for the Minnesota Twins. 20 minutes later, Mr. Smith is told that his wife has triplets. And he says, wonderful, wonderful. I work for 3M's. A little fellow in the corner turned white, and he starts walking out. And the nurse says, what's wrong? He says, I better get out of here. I work for 7-Up. And then there's the thief who broke into home. And as he broke in the second story, he heard a voice behind him in the dark. John sees you. And he turned the flashlight on and he saw it was a parrot. He thought that was funny. And he laughed and laughed. And every corner the bird kept saying, John sees you. And in the fourth corner, he flashed a light and a Doberman pincer with a big mouth wide open. The parrot said, John sees you. Sig him, sig him. And now this priest was learning to be a skydiver. And he had learned all the details now. And now he's going to make his jump at 5,000 feet. Heard about pulling the rip cord, the auxiliary cord, just in case anything happens. So now it's time to jump the green light, and out he goes. And he decides to enjoy the jump. He doesn't pull the rip cord, he's just flying along, you know, watching the scenery and the country. And as he sees the ground getting closer, well, I guess it's time to pull the ripcord. Pulls and pulls, and it doesn't work. And he reaches on the auxiliary cord, and it doesn't work. The ground's coming up faster. But he notices a man from the ground is coming up towards him. When they go get close together, the priest says to the man, do you know anything about parachutes? And the man says to him, do you know anything about starting a gas stove? And then we have this Olympic Games. And one of the games are fencing. And the judges had a test, a special test. To the first man, they said, if you can kill this moth In 1 minute, with one stroke of the sword, you are eligible for the medal. And so the moth begins flying, time is on, it's running, and he's down to 40 seconds, and he's still following the moth, 45, 50, 55, 56, and he catches the moth. And the judges say, well, that's kind of easy. We'll have to give him the next man a tougher test. So they tell him, if you can kill this fly in 1 minute with one cut of the sword, then you're eligible. So the fly is released, and he's chasing him around the room. He's bzzzing, buzzing, buzzing. And the minutes, the seconds going by, he's down to 55, 56, and he strikes. And he got the fly. Well, they said, that's still too easy. We have to make it tougher. So to the third man, they said, if you can kill this mosquito in 1 minute with one cut of your sword, then you're eligible for the prize. So now the mosquito is flying around him, buzzing, and he's still down the minute, the seconds going by, and he's ready, ready, ready. On the last second, he swings, and the mosquito flies away. And the judges say, uh-huh, you missed. And the man said, yeah, yeah, but he'll never stick his tongue out me again. And I'm not sure whether I've exhausted my supply for today, but I always have something in reserve, and I'll just tell one more to kind of make the day what it should be with a smile. This is from the Merry Christians, the associations that I belong to. Priests, Protestant ministers, rabbis send in the humor for their religious services. And these three little boys were bragging about their fathers. And the first one boasted that his dad owned a farm. The second said his dad owned a factory. And the third boy, a pastor's son, replied, oh, that's nothing. My dad owns hell. No way, another boy said. How can he own hell? Sure he can, the preacher's son said. My mom told my grandma last night. The elders of our church gave it to him last night. This funny incident is something that could have happened to any one of you. This is a woman talking. She's saying, hurrying to finish my last errand at a card shop, I accidentally locked my keys in the car. How many did that? See, I see about 9 hands. I called my husband at work, but he was out of the office, so I left a message. After a while, I phoned my mother for a ride and then waited in the store for help. Impatient, I went outside and tested the driver's side door. To my surprise, it opened. Feeling foolish, I quickly locked the door so I wouldn't be found out. Just then, the store manager walked out and called me. Your husband came by and unlocked your door. Well, we always have some good doctor jokes. A doctor was deeply depressed because he was not able to marry the only woman he had ever loved. Why don't you just ask her? Asked an irritated friend. I can't afford to, he said. She's my best patient. And here's a two-liner. Doctors say, if you eat slowly, you will eat less. Well, anyone raised in a large family will tell you the same thing. Especially if you're like me, nine children, I'm number seven. And you know about the ATM card at the bank. Well, this woman is telling about what her husband saw. My husband waited patiently while the woman in front of him struggled with the bank's automated teller machine. After several attempts to withdraw cash, she turned to him in disgust. Don't bother. It doesn't work, she said. All it says is insufficient funds. In perfect order. And then, if you have a husband and you've gone to the beautician, this is what you might run into. It was raining when I left the beauty salon, so my beautician gave me a plastic bag to put over my head to protect my coiffure. When I arrived home, my husband commented, "You spent 4 hours and $80 at the hairdresser, and you come in with a bag over your head?" Now, here's a funny joke that has to do with Padre Pio. Apparently, it had happened. One day, Padre Pio was not feeling good, and the superior in concern said, Padre, we must call your doctor. Padre Pio, agreeing, said, "All right, the doctor has to make a living." The doctor came, examined him, and wrote out a prescription to be filled. Padre Pio, the superior, said, "Padre, we must have your prescription filled." Padre Pio agreed, "All right, the druggist has to make a living." The superior had the prescription filled, gave it to Padre Pio. Padre Pio, laughing, walked over to the window, opened the window, and dropped the medicine out the window, and he said, "Padre Pio has to live too." I think with all these synthetic medicines we're getting, we'd better do the same. Out the window. The only thing, you have to pay so much money for them. But I belong to what is called the Mary Christian Association. These are humor shared by priests, rabbis, and Protestant ministers of what happens in their ministry. They also have cartoons that can be incorporated into the parish bulletin. You're free to do that. Now, one of the cartoons has Noah. All the families on board, all the animals are on board, and the gangplank is ready to be pulled up. And Noah says, "Okay, listen up. If anyone needs to go to the bathroom, do it now." We don't want to suppress Snickers here. And here's what you call a husband and wife joke. This woman is talking. "My husband and I maintain both joint and separate credit card accounts. As I fumbled in my purse one day looking for the right card to pay for the same purchases, I explained to the sales clerk that I had my card, his card, and our card." "Oh, that's okay," he replied, "as long as you don't have their card." And I guess some of you have been on a lose weight diet, and this mother is talking. "To lose weight, I discarded all of the high-calorie prepared foods in my kitchen and replaced them with dried beans, brown rice cake, and fresh produce. I didn't realize the effect it had on my family until my son Matt and his friend raided the pantry in search of a snack and came up empty-handed. Apologizing to his friend, Matt said, my mom doesn't buy food anymore. She just buys ingredients." And if you can remember your wedding, you know what you say, for better or worse, rich or poor, sick or in good health, all right? This is the bride talking. My fiancé and I spent months preparing for our wedding. During the ceremony, we planned to recite our vows without any prompting from the pastor. When the day arrived, we stood face to face in the garden, and Jim was so nervous that he accidentally omitted some of his lines. Nevertheless, I responded with my vows, and we were pronounced man and wife. When our pastor greeted us on the receiving line, I jokingly asked him if our union was legal. After all, I said, laughing, Jim flubbed his lines. Oh, you're fine, he replied reassuringly. But as he walked away, he called back, don't get sick. For better, but not sick. And this I actually saw on a bumper sticker. And you have to be on your guard here. We have to fight crime. Abolish the IRS. And if you eat Mexican food, here's a comment. At a Mexican restaurant in Los Angeles, I ordered the night's special. I should warn you about all the chili peppers in that dish, the waiter said. It's very, very hot. Well, how hot is it, I asked. Let me put it this way. It's so hot that you burn calories as you eat it. And you've been to McDonald's. This is a woman talking. As I stood in line at a McDonald's restaurant one noon, I overheard a woman in front of me treating her young grandson to lunch. She carefully studied the billboard menu. Those McRib sandwiches, she asked the counter person, are they with or without McBones? They're with Mc something. You shouldn't be laughing so hard there. This woman and her husband interrupted their vacation to go to a dentist. I want a tooth pulled, and I don't want Novocaine because I'm in a big hurry, the woman said. Just extract the tooth as quickly as possible, and we'll be on our way. The dentist was quite impressed. You're certainly a courageous woman, he said. Which tooth is it? The woman turned to her husband and said, show him your tooth, dear. I think you're responding now. You're beginning to warm up. And a priest was walking down a street when he saw a little boy jumping up and down trying to reach a doorbell. So the priest walked over, pressed the button for the youngster. And now what, my little man, he asked. Now the boy said, run like hell. He got himself in the jam there. That's what you get for being good. On Halloween. So don't go walking on Halloween. Oh, you ladies will love this. She answered the phone to hear a repentant voice. I'm sorry, darling, he said. I have thought things over, and you can have the Rolls Royce as a wedding present. And we will move to the Gold Coast, and your mother can stay with us. Now, will you marry me? Of course I will, she said. And who's this speaking? Ha ha ha. That's a good question. Would you? So what would you say? Now, this is attributed to Jay Leno. A medical study reports men who eat 10 pizzas a week are less likely to develop prostate problems, said Jay Leno. However, they're more likely to develop size 52 pants. And then to understand this, you will have to be sharp. Bill sat at the local bar bragging about his athletic prowess. None of the regulars challenged him, but a visitor piped up, "I'll bet you $50 that I can push something in a wheelbarrow for one block, and you cannot wheel it back." Bill looked over the skinny stranger and decided it wasn't much of a challenge. "I'll take you on," he said. The two men and a number of regulars borrowed a wheelbarrow and took it to the corner. "Now, let's see what you're made of," taunted Bill. "Okay," said the challenger. "Get in." This is organized laughter. I told you I had to be sharp. Oh, my goodness. All right. Audience who are listening to this tape, please laugh. And I am not sure that I have another one, but I'm pretty sure that I left it out because it might be just a little too long, but I don't think so because it will register, I think, in the right way. Yes. Henry's new job had him spending a lot of time on the road, and out of concern for his wife's safety, he visited a pet shop to look at watchdogs. "I have just a dog for you," said the salesman, showing him a miniature Pekingese. "Come on," Henry protested. "That little thing couldn't hurt a flea." "Oh, but he knows karate," the salesman replied. "Here, let me show you." He pointed to a cardboard box and he ordered, "Karate the box." Immediately the dog shredded the box. The salesman then pointed to an old wooden chair, instructed, "Karate the chair." The dog reduced the chair to matchsticks. Astounded, Henry bought the dog. When he got home, Henry announced that he had purchased a watchdog. But his wife took one look at the Pekingese and was unimpressed. "That scrawny thing couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag," she said. "Ah, but this Pekingese is special," Henry insisted. "He's a karate expert." "No, I've heard everything," Helen said. "Karate my foot." Oh. Now, you know the difference between composing, that's somebody who writes something, or music, a composer, right? I'll keep this in mind now. Beethoven, when he died, of course, was buried with a big funeral. And as they lowered the coffin to the grave, they began to hear his music. But it was being played backward. And this man who was attending the funeral thought it was, you know, just a quirk. But he began hearing from people that went to his grave and they heard Beethoven's music being played backward. He went the next day, sure enough, he heard the symphony, fifth symphony, oh, da-da-da-da, but backward. So he said, "I'm going to see what's happening here. I'm going to go tomorrow." He heard the seventh symphony backward. And he had somebody else in there listening. He said, "Have you been here a long time?" "Yeah." "What's happening?" "Oh, that's Beethoven. He's decomposing." All right, I think I'll keep you. And then we have, this is entitled No Limits. During lunch after our last deanery meeting, these are priests talking, you know, the priests meet together. The talk turned to political issues. Do you think, one priest asked, that the terms of members of Congress should be limited? No, quipped one of the younger priests. They should stay in jail as long as everyone else. That includes Bradley. And this is called a little dab. You know what that is? Two children entered the church ahead of me one Sunday morning. This is a lady talking. A five-year-old girl tagged along behind her eight-year-old brother. The boy dipped his finger into the holy water font, blessed himself, started down the aisle. His little sister then dipped her fingers in and then hesitated, unable to remember what came next. Wishing to catch up with her brother, the girl gave a little shrug and followed down the aisle, dabbing holy water behind each ear. Heavenly perfume. Now, a state trooper pulled us over for speeding on a deserted road in southern Utah. The road was empty, and he was almost apologetic about writing the ticket. He then complimented us for wearing our seat belts. At that point, my wife leaned over and said, "Well, officer, when you drive the speeds we do, you've got to wear them." I'm almost sure that I had reserved some that were very special. And yes, here are signs that are telling you that you may have to see a new doctor, not the old one. First of all, you can read his writing. His malpractice attorney names him Client of the Year. And he asks you to turn your head and cough during an eye exam. And during surgery, he keeps repeating the thigh bone's connected with the knee bone. And if you ever meet a bum, keep this in mind. Approaching a passerby, a street person asks, Sir, would you give me $100 for a cup of coffee? That's ridiculous, the man replied. Just say yay, yes or no, fella, the beggar growled. I don't need a lecture about how to run my business. Two scientists were discussing their latest behavior modification research. Think about that. Their latest behavior modification research. We've started something new, said the first scientist. For some of our more dangerous experiments, we're now using lawyers. Lawyers, queried her colleague, but we've always used rats. Well, you know how it is. You get so attached to rats. Ha ha.